This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, hello, and welcome to the 5th of July here on the Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com. My name is Ben, and here is Poppy.
Hi, good morning. What's up, Doc?
Yeah, good, huh? Not quite as bracingly cold this morning as we brave our way into the studios.
No, man. We're Mickey Mouse in South Africa. If you're going to threaten us with a cold front, can it be a real one? This is Grahamstown weather.
Yeah, or at least just like persistent.
Exactly.
But wow, how about all these photos of the snow in the Cape? I mean, these are people who have been like obviously crying with drought and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now
it's crazy.
But like proper snow though, not like just a scattering on the mountains for Instagram photos. People are literally like taking time off, driving out into the mountains, and they are literally in snow. Like making snowmen in snow.
I think we're at that point where we won't need to go overseas anymore to catch a bit of snow.
But it would be kind of cool. But look, obviously because of global warming and all those kind of really bad things that we get these extremes that are happening around the world. But it'd be kind of cool if you just think like July snow month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know it's going to just be buckets of snow.
And good for tourism, good for the economy.
We need another, what's it called, Tiffindale?
Yeah, like in the Cape.
Yeah.
So today's going to be a fun day. We've got Gareth and Sia. As you can see, I'm reading from a running order. Just look at that, huh? It's a day of progress. Slowly but surely, we're getting through an absolutely flawless show.
Are you going to do this?
Streaming seems good. Streaming's up and going. So if you're listening to us live, hello, good morning. As always, you're welcome to get in touch with us, 079-748-2090, either on the WhatsApp or the Telegram. And so we've got Gareth and Sia going to pop in sort of around 6:40-ish after the sport today to catch up on what they've been up to.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Justice Malala with the Burning Platform,
I'm looking brought to you by to Nando's.
Yeah, well, Justice is he's great. He's a great guy to have here in studio. I always enjoy his company. He makes me smile. And he happens to be the foremost political commentator, analyst, everything, basically.
That's a big deal.
It's a lot of things to be. So Justice is all of that. And he's a nice guy. So he'll be running through all of this in the second hour. And then a pre-recorded interview with Ricardo Spangi, lead maintainers of Monero. Maintainers? Oh, I thought he was the guy who started it. Yeah, Ricardo, obviously, cryptocurrency. We've been chatting about this for the last sort of 18 months. It's funny that the amount of talk to cryptocurrency is correspondent to the amount of success of cryptocurrency. So it's kind of dropping on people's radars. But Gareth has a chat to Ricardo, who is, well, in Gareth's words, one of the most fascinating people he's met in quite some time. And he's been very much involved in the Monero cryptocurrency project.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that for a show, Poppy?
It's going to be banging.
Straight off the bat, we're looking good. It's looking solid.
So we were chatting yesterday about Gareth's grooming and the vampire facial.
Yes.
So I thought I'd educate you because you're quite wild that I knew so much about it. But it's kind of like my business too.
Nice.
As a young lady. But I wanted to school you about something else. Do you know what alopecia is?
That is when your skin is, you have real pale patches?
Close, but not quite. It's when your hairline kind of recedes or you have patches of hair missing. It's basically balding.
That's it.
In black women, it happens quite often. So what happens is because we braid our hair and we put weaves in, eventually your hairline starts receding.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, this has been my issue and my problem. And I went for my first hairline treatment the other day.
Okay.
So pretty much like what Gareth does with the vampire facial, the pricking of the skin and then the blood comes out. That's what you do when you go for your hairline treatments.
Ah.
Except they use a thing called a dermapen, which has about 10 needles in it. And that pricks the hairline. And hopefully if there's life underneath that skin, your skin will bleed. And that means that there's a chance of your hair growing. If it does not bleed, it means that you need more intensive work done for your hairline to come back and for your hair to come back. So
okay, so instant thought here is that that's pretty painful.
It isn't. So they put numbing cream on, but my one friend came with me because she's got patches of hair missing in her head. Yeah, it's a problem. And she took painkillers, but I don't feel much pain. And also because I'm trying to get this hairline back really seriously, I don't actually care for the pain.
But like your head's pretty sensitive. So I would imagine that and this numbing cream obviously does help a little bit.
Yeah.
But wow, that's quite a big step. It's almost like the reverse of what Sia wanted. Sia wanted that whole thing to be completely hairless.
Oh, okay.
So he was going to go through this procedure where a similar process takes away all the hair on his face because he wanted to be beardless.
That's interesting.
Also very odd, but thankfully he's gone against it.
That is quite the opposite. So obviously his beard grows and he doesn't want even like...
He doesn't want any facial hair. He wants to be hairless.
Wow. That's, I don't think I'm even hairless on my face.
No one's hairless. We've all got follicles. We've all got some degree of hair because essentially that's where we came from.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So how often do you go for this procedure then?
Once a week. Every Tuesday is hairline treatment day. And then we go for a big lunch afterwards because we need to kind of...
And how long is the actual session?
Oh, it's quick. The first time we went, it was about 30 minutes. But now because we know what we're doing, we get there and it's about 20 minutes numbing cream sits on your head. And then it's about a 10 minute. So it's still 30 minutes.
And is it the same? Is it the same kind of system? I may ask you lots of questions here. Sure. I'm fascinated. I'm losing hair at a rapid rate too.
You must go.
Is it like the same procedure every time, or do they map your head out and basically there's like an attack? They're going to go this section, or is it just all one go?
It's all one go. So obviously people are losing hair in different places. So like for instance, my friend has got a full head of hair, except she's got patches missing in the back of her head. Yeah. So they just inject those areas. But for me, it's the front. So I just inject the front area.
Yeah, see, I've got front area issue too.
Yeah, it happens to a lot of people.
It happens to all of us. I mean, this is the thing about life is that none of us are actually that special. We all have... I still believe that age is a disease.
Sure.
Because we've seen old people. I mean, it's a horrible way to go. It's so undignified. You've lived a life of potentially being nice and being purposeful in this world. And what do you get repaid with? Looking like a scrotum. It's just not right.
Looking like a scrotum.
I hang out at golf courses, so I know what age looks like.
And you know what a scrotum looks like.
Yeah, maybe that comparison was a little bit too close to the bone. But
it's hitting me, hey? And I don't know that I'm ready to look like a scrotum.
Okay, you won't. I was using a very general term for more mostly aging white men. But yes, I think you'll still be okay.
Cheaper. So what also happens is that you have to take pills that obviously kind of help with the hair growth. And that gives you hair everywhere.
Okay.
So it's like Bob Martin for humans.
Exactly the analogy I was going to say.
Yep. So that helps with the hair growth and the follicles coming alive again as well. But once a week is not bad.
I've drawn a blank here. There's something else that you can take naturally, which is also probably quite good. It might come to me in a bit. But I've been taking this caffeine shampoo and caffeine.
Oh, I saw that.
Sort of energizer stuff. So I've got like a routine. And then I've got like a brush that I use. And
did you also see the advert on while you were watching the rugby?
Long time ago, like maybe 2 years ago.
Okay, because I saw it then, and I was jumping at everything at the time, but I think this
is caffeine shampoo. I give it a full go.
Really?
But then, like, you go through all this effort. Okay, look, I haven't got to your level yet. Like, you're taking it to another level.
Yeah.
Like, when your skin is penetrated, like, you're not messing around. You're going for a specialist thing.
Sure.
So, but, like, I put all this effort in, and then this week in particular, I just, you know, like, you have good weeks and bad weeks, and, of course, it's winter, and then maybe having just a bad week work-wise. But then you look at yourself and you go, is it really worth the effort? Like, you know, you're fighting against thunder here. It's an uphill battle. Like, why don't you just shave your hair and just be done with it?
So that's where I was at one point in my life. But you actually, hair is such a big part of your self-esteem.
Completely.
And just your confidence in general. So I was also like, I'm just going to shave my hair. And then I was like, no, I don't want to look. Have you seen Naomi Campbell, her alopecia?
No.
Like, it's Michael Jackson bad.
Wow, really?
She's got it really bad. And for someone in her industry with the kind of money that she has, to have never thought of looking after that part of her hair, like, I just don't know how she's gone through life living like that. So look for Naomi Campbell alopecia, or on a yacht, hair blowing. It's It's so terrible. So do you see? So that's what black women get in general. I know there's different kinds of alopecia depending on what you do to your hair and how your hair grows and your genes, blah, blah, blah. But she's got generally what a lot of black women have. So if you've ever seen these members of parliament, with all due respect, and like politicians who are... who don't care that that's the situation. So I don't know if you've seen the one woman just like has no hair in the front and then it's just like hair just in the back.
Rocking it natural, huh?
Yeah. And I almost want to reach out to people now. In fact, I do in bathrooms and I'm like, hey, I know someone who can help you, because I don't think you should be going through life like that. And no. It does just affect, you know, your look on the outside, but definitely your confidence in the inside.
For sure. I mean, I think I'd be a lot more confident, a lot more outgoing in life maybe if I had better hair. I don't know, maybe too much outgoing, who knows, but it's true. And obviously, you know, within the role of society, women are obviously judged a whole lot heavier about this.
Sure.
Like a guy can go bald and it'll be no biggie. Like in many cases, people actually say bald men are sexy, you know. There's a whole
some can be thing.
Look, I think if you're good looking in life, you generally will look pretty good no matter what's going on.
Sure.
You do, like Jason Statham, you know, he's a good looking guy, he's muscular, he kicks ass. He's an action hero.
Yeah.
He could have frizzy red hair.
No one cares.
No one cares. Like, he's Jason Statham.
Truth be told.
Speaking of frizzy red hair, what was your... What was your like scariest movie growing up? Because the one that freaked me out the most, I hear, is having a reboot. And I'm not talking about It. Like, It's, you know, Pennywise the Clown, that was freaky, but there was even a freakier, like kind of movie growing up that really kind of made me look under the bed, a little bit scared of the dark.
I'm trying to think. I think Freddy Krueger vibes were a big part of my life. They used to freak me out, but I still watched. Was it Nightmare on Elm Street? Yeah. All of those kinds of things.
In the boiler room. In your dreams. But the one I'm thinking of, It really scared the crap out of me. 80s music.
Everyone has a birthday they'll always remember.
Can we open my presents now, Mommy?
What's the children scare me?
A good guy! I knew it!
Hi, I'm Chucky.
He's something, isn't he?
This is Andy's.
Yeah, he's something.
Time for bed, Andy.
Good night, baby.
Good night, Aunt Maggie.
Everyone knows most accidents happen at home.
How did that happen?
This is no accident.
Andy!
I'm Detective Mike Norris, homicide.
Andy!
Miss Peterson's dead, Barclay. She fell from your kitchen window.
Someone's moved in with the Barclay family. And so has terror.
Mommy, I know who was on the counter.
Andy.
Who, Andy?
Chucky.
Nobody believes you about Chucky.
He came alive in my hand.
Oh, for God's sake.
Why won't you believe me?
Because I'm sane. This is Barclay, sane and rational.
No one believes the truth. Or lives to tell it. There's nothing nice about murder. And there's nothing innocent about child's play.
So that little doll, that little Chucky doll, was the scariest thing growing up. It really was.
I remember Child's Play.
And again, like, you know, shout out to the gingers. You guys had a rough time. I mean, they made this they made this toy into a scary looking ginger kid. So it's rough. Anyway, so they it's the people who produced It, the Scary Movie with the Clown, they now want to have a go at Child's Play. So basically rebooting the Chucky doll. And obviously it's going to be set in current times. So even though it was an 80s and 90s cult hit, and Chucky was a scary little guy. He really was. He was so creepy. And he had like this, he just sounded like a drunk janitor. And so now they're going to basically recreate all of that, but with modern times. So I think, get him. I'm watching these videos and I'm just cringing every time. So the new doll is going to have all the sort of smart features. So he'll probably have like Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and he can like do things, which will then make him obviously even scarier.
Jeez.
Yeah, but I mean that would. I don't know if I could actually go watch that again. No, there was like a time in my youth, it might get brought back.
And the trauma of it, I don't think. And I think also the older you get, the more afraid, or like I've become very, very afraid of that kind of stuff. So I won't watch scary things at night.
Hi, stuff I'm hurts. Chucky. Wanna play?
I hope I'm not the only one that's really like freaked out about this. And suspense. And he would hide under couches. And basically he murdered people. And then there was the Bride of Chucky. There was many, many sequels to this. And every kid wanted a doll in their life. And then they must have all looked at their own teddy bears after this movie. They must have all just had like second thoughts. All right, that's enough scary stuff for this morning.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, sheepers. Getting the shivers here. That's what I love about YouTube. You go in there, you can watch all these scenes over and over again.
And you're unmoved?
Yeah, it's okay. On to the messages. I wonder what happened to movie trailer voiceovers. Yeah, it's a good point, actually. You know, it used to be a really big thing. I guess they got parodied so much, and people were ripping them off so much, that eventually they're just like, let's maybe change the formula a bit here. There's a message here from Quinton. Morning team, Pops, you're great.
Hello.
Love having you on the show. Ben, that caffeine shampoo does work for shit. Tried it for a while, but then gave up and took to the razors. By the way, please no more stupid Nathan videos, please.
We love Nathan, though.
Quinton, but like, how long did you try it for? Did you do the shampoo? Like, I'm not saying you're talking shit or anything. I think that's Chucky. He's attacking that woman again.
Stop it.
Oh, no, he's biting her. Savage. I want to look like Lenny Kravitz or Shane Warne when I'm old. That's from Just Playing LM, who really is fond of you as well, Poppy. Yeah, it's an important thing to do, like have an aspiration of what you want to look like in life. But then there's like then reality kind of hits you in the face.
Shane Warne, the cricketer.
Shane Warne had those plugs. Yeah, so obviously Jacques Callis, who's a sporting hero in this country, he went for that whole system. And he did all the ads. You know, that's a big deal for him because he could clearly afford that treatment. I know these treatments are very expensive.
But he still could.
But he still did the ads afterwards.
To encourage other people. Because yeah. Jacques was bad, if I remember correctly. It was receding.
Oh, yeah, he was basically going bald.
Hair loss for a six, as did world champion cricketer Jacques Callis. Because when his hair loss was beating him, he saw Advanced Hair Studio.
It wasn't just the look. Hair loss affected my confidence and the way I felt. So Advanced Hair Studio.
So it was the way he felt and the way he looked. And he hit it for six, puppy.
Amazing.
But do you remember those really bad Sanex hair shampoo ads he did? So as he was balding, okay, he was losing hair, like, quick. And that was when he was doing these hair shampoo ads. It's like the worst timing, the worst product placement ever. And then he basically went bald.
Shame.
Yeah. What other message got now? Michelle says, hi, morning, Ben and Poppy. I just want to tell you how much I love listening to you guys. You have job shadows here this week, and they... Sorry, Michelle. Like, these messages get cut in half, and then... Okay. I love listening to you guys. I've had job shadows here this week, and they cut into my GCS time by asking a million of questions. Yeah, those people are annoying. I feel ripped off when I don't get the whole show live, but podcast... Oh, cool. So thank you for keeping me sane during the school holidays at work. Michelle, I hear you. Good luck with those children. Job shadowers. And they always ask dumb questions, don't they? Morning, Ben and Poppy. Ben, do you wear caps a lot? That can cause a hairline lot to thin. Don't wear caps too much. My uncle and cousin wore caps with hair pulled back and then they became bald. Front to back or top of head. Yeah, I don't wear caps a whole bunch. Obviously, like when I play golf, I wear hats. I've always been quite conscious of that. but now I'm getting to the stage where, well, screw it, well, I might as well just wear caps all the time. But I can hit hair loss for six. Just do what Jacques Callis did. All right.
I wonder how many people were influenced by that particular ad and by him actually going for the treatments.
Oh, loads. I mean, like, okay, Shane Warne was also in on the mix here. The whole advanced hair studio thing.
Because in our game, confidence is everything.
Call advanced hair studio.
Shane Warne was here.
CJ, beat my hair loss.
Just like mine.
And Sourav Ganguly, he also had a dash at this. Wow, they really targeted the cricketers who wear hats all the time and the helmets. Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you don't want to let go of your youth and turn your back on it, but maybe it's the way to go. But this advanced hair studio, this place costs a mint, I reckon, because they're essentially just plugging up your whole head. Because they're actually transplanting and putting the hair in there. They're not looking at reinvigorating the scalp.
Sure.
Because Wayne Rooney did the whole thing as well. Yeah, like a lot of sports stars have gone through this.
Okay. I mean, so it's common for them.
Well, as a sports star, you need to be confident. That's
key.
That is kind of a gimme. We've got the news carrot with Poppy in a sec, and I've got some sports. Sibongile is not here just yet. I'm trying to work out how we can get the guys into Skype. But yeah, Gareth and Sia are basically going to be in London until Sunday, as you heard yesterday on the podcast. So they're still racking up the interviews, and I think Gareth's having the best time ever. I don't know if he's doing very Gareth things. Like, I think Sia might be a bit bored with some of the interviews. Who knows? But there's this video that Gareth sent me. Unfortunately, it's a bit dark.
Of
Sia dancing in a restaurant.
Yes,
he, Lord. He literally had an audience cheering him on, and he thought he was in a Beyonce music video.
Oh, that's the one he was talking about. Where
absolutely. it's kind of mesmerizing how this guy just goes and just does that.
Sia mustn't come back. He must dance as Beyonce in pubs all over England.
He will. And he would do it for free, and he would probably make a decent life of it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. What's this other story I had? Oh, so last week I was talking about strippers and like the strip club kind of experience, I guess.
Box and dime.
And like the things that people go through. So yesterday I was playing you some very honest situations, like honest road trip and the honest 4th of July, like barbecue get together. And what people kind of think and go about. And I've always found this whole strip club mentality, hence me bringing it up last week, quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And how guys feel like duty bound to all love it, to all kind of like, and then obviously there's this peer pressure around it, and guys do act differently in strip club scenarios. It's the whole strip club thing. So, you know, it's always like a traditional kind of cliche, like, you know, your bachelor party, you got to have strippers. It's one of those
mm-hmm,
things.
Mm-hmm.
I could think of nothing more cringe personally. That's just because of me. Yeah, it's just, so I found this video, which actually does sum things up quite nicely again, as far as just cutting to the chase of like the rationale behind it, the thinking behind it, and general male practice around strip clubs.
I think we did it. I think we planned the perfect bachelor party for Shane. We've got booze. We've got drugs. We've got all the stuff that we know Shane loves from years of being friends with him. Is there anything I'm forgetting?
Well, I mean, no one said it yet. Someone has to say it. So, how about a strip club?
Strip club.
See, you feel you have to say it. You have to.
Oh, yeah! I'd love to go to a strip club!
Oh, yeah, strip club! We have to go! And now that you said it, I'll be a killjoy if I shoot it down.
I mean, why would you shoot it down?
I wouldn't!
There's nothing I love more than being around my buds when I'm horny.
Oh, yeah! Horny. Nothing like a night on the town with a bunch of sexually frustrated guys who have distractingly persistent boners.
Bing, bing, bing! Are you saying you don't want to go?
I wouldn't say that, because then you'd think I'm less of a man.
I guess it's settled. We're going.
Oh, yeah, we're definitely going. Because people expect us to, you know? And that's a good enough reason to go, I guess.
And make sure you have plenty of cash, because if money isn't leaving your hands every 2 minutes, they'll think you're scum.
Ooh, fine by me. I love spending money in small, forgettable, but collectively significant amounts.
Then you're going to love those ATM fees.
I can't wait. And hey, if I get sick of it, I'm sure it'll be easy to get a large group of people to leave at the same time.
Why would you want to leave?
Do you not want to go?
No, I want to go. It's a strip club, and it's a bachelor party, and I'm a man.
Yeah, me too. I'm also a man, and I love looking at those women.
Oh, I bet you do.
Yeah, I love looking at them and wondering how their life led them here and whether they're happy.
Nothing makes me wonder if I'm a good person quite like making somebody get down on all fours and sweep their earnings off the dirtiest floor in the world.
That's why I spend all my time trying to convince them that I'm not a creep, even though...
You are!
Don't care. I like to push those thoughts deep, deep down until I don't even consider the strippers as people anymore. You know, like a monster.
Nice way to justify your presence there.
I don't have to justify it. I love going to strip clubs.
I'd go right now, but I need time to get drunk.
Oh, right, because they don't serve alcohol at a California strip club.
Oh, yeah, a place where it's too loud to have a conversation.
Why the hell would they not serve alcohol at a strip club? You get the idea, though. So if you're in bachelor, every guy goes through a certain stage where everyone gets married at a very similar time, and you end up spending weekends after weekend after weekend. And I'm sure deep down, it is quite tiresome because you end up spending so much money. It's not that great anyway. It's not like any of these girls ever care about who you are. Because you get guys who also do that. They go there, and sometimes it's their first real time they've been to a situation like this, and they're seeing naked girls like this. But yeah, I mean, I found that video kind of nails it. And everyone feels that they have to. Like, they're duty bound. You have to go to the strip club, man. It's the strippers. It's the best. It's
and
strippers.
You have to spend a
so
little
much.
Bit on something.
So much. I'm so glad I'm out of that phase of life.
So what have you spent on at the strip club? You know I'm going to ask.
No, yeah, I've never felt compelled to have table dances, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm really old school. If nudity generally leads to, kind of with someone you like, care about, or want to hook up with. That whole strip club, it's never been my bag. Almost time for the news. Sorry, hang on a second. I missed something here. Oh, Larata Shabalala is back. Now, she used to be a full-time member here back in the days when we were merging Cliff Central and Touch Central.
Mm-hmm.
We shared the same studio space. But yeah, Larata is back. So get ready for another season of Living It Up with Larata Shabalala. Thanks to Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Make sure you get new episodes every Thursday and explore interior design, making the best use of the space you have, how to make your room more intimate, decor for kids, and so much more. Living It Up with Larata Shabalala is brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Are your windows and doorways crying out for some much-needed attention? Taylor Blinds and Shutters are the stylish solution to give them a breath of fresh air. Trusted, innovative quality and style. Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Now, Larata does, as I said, obviously her show here. She has such great guests that come through. It's always so cool having her here in the studio because, she's such a bubbly, amazing personality, and her guests feel so welcome, and the show is really cool. So what she does is, she's got major interest in property and design and interior decorating, all that kind of stuff.
Ah.
So if you are in that field, if you're looking to kind of spruce up the space, the show really is it's impressive. She does great research with her guests, and it's not just an open mic about what you want and what you dislike and that kind of stuff. Larata really does her prep, and I can say she's an absolute professional. So that is the show you need to look out for. Of course, cliffcentral.com for this show and all the others that you may have missed through the week, or this very show here, where I am standing in for Gareth this week with Poppy. And Justice shall be here in the second hour with the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. Poppy, what are the five things we need to know today?
So many things going on in the world. I don't know if you saw the story about this 92-year-old mom who shot her son for threatening to move her into assisted living, is what they call it.
Oh, wow.
Also known as an old age home. So that happened, and fatally shot him, by the way. And her name is Anime Blessing. She allegedly pulled out, wait for it, two pistols from her robe at 10 a.m. on a Monday morning and fired several times at her 72-year-old son.
Wow. There are so many levels to the story. Firstly, he's 72.
So she had him at 20.
No, that was not what I was worried about. So he's also knocking on the door of the same kind of time in his life.
Sure.
And she's, that old, and she's packing heat in a robe?
Two pistols. Not one, two.
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh about this, but this is a sight you could never dream up. A 92-year-old woman, double shooter.
And she, I've seen her mugshot. She looks all kinds of gangster. She's not the one to be messed with, clearly. So it's a bit of a sad story, actually. It is. I don't know that anyone wants to.
It's a hugely sad story, but you can kind of see that normally you put someone into frail care when they become frail and they can't look after themselves.
Yeah.
She definitely had her faculties about her in order to do this.
Yep, definitely. And then locally, so the land issue is still a huge one for people, but in particular, King Goodwill Zwelithini is now threatening the government with what sounds like violence, war, a fight. I'm not sure. I can never actually really make out what our king is trying to say. I say our, but I just mean of the Zulu people.
Yeah.
And he says he'll fight for an independent Zulu homeland, which is taking us way back.
Yep, there's some retrograde thinking.
If some of the land in the Ingonyama Trust is expropriated. So there we go. Another problem for the government to solve is to firstly speak to the traditional leaders about expropriating their land, because they don't seem like they're trying to let go.
And they won't. Of course they won't. And they believe that they'll have enough reason for this not to happen. But this is the issue with this whole land breakdown.
I didn't know that was a thing. They're going to have to think this through completely. Probably,
unfortunately, they haven't. So they're just looking for popularity, because politicians, unfortunately, have run out of ideas a long time ago. And this land thing was just like...
I think it was a Hail Mary. Julius's fault.
Of course it is.
And now everyone's like, so how do we do this? Oh, yes. let's go back to 94 and figure it out. Except it's 2018.
Well, it's like the episode of South Park, which keeps coming back up. It's like the underpants gnomes. Steal underwear, make profit. They don't know what the middle step is.
Oh, I have to watch this episode.
Underpants gnomes, South Park. You'll see what I'm saying. It's the perfect analogy. Is that nothing's thought through. All that these politicians want is your stuff, our stuff, everyone's stuff. They just want stuff because they want money. So they just want the stuff. They don't understand how the stuff came to be, where it is, how its role in society, all that kind of stuff. They don't care. They just want it. Because they want it, because it's just power. Because power equals I can still eat and drive nice cars and all that kind of crap.
Do you remember the Mali immigrant that was scaling a building to save that child dangling?
Yes, that guy, yeah.
He not only was promised... I think he was promised residency or some kind of citizenship.
Yeah, because it was in Paris, wasn't it?
In France, yeah. But he's now got a gig as a firefighter. Fantastic. How cool is that? So his good deed hasn't gone unnoticed. He's moving up in the world. I think that'll be quite a cool gig for him, since he's already used to scaling walls.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's clearly what you can perform under pressure.
Dude. That video still like haunts me. Diego Maradona is still trending. In fact, Colombia and England are still trending. Have you seen that?
Yeah, because now people are saying that there could be death threats around the players, and the ref was terrible. And God, these guys just take defeat like men.
Not when you're from Colombia.
Clearly not. But there's these footballers as well. There's just no honor in this game.
Yes, so that's still happening. And apparently Diego Maradona says he's willing to coach Argentina for free. Let's see that happen. What he means is that he'll take bags of coke as well.
Yeah, well, we'll get more into that story with the sport. But yes, he is trying. It's sad when you get to the stage. You know, we spoke about hair loss earlier in the show.
Yeah.
About how you lose your confidence and dignity in your wear as you get older. With him, it's so much worse. Like... He's losing his mind, and he's trying so hard to stay relevant with something. You know, like FIFA brought him back from the wilderness because he was a very anti-Sepp Blatter person.
Yeah.
Gianni Infantino then brought him back as being one of these icons of football because he was a great, and he's just ruining everything.
He's ruining everything for himself, I think, as well. Which is the problem. And then, of course, how's this for exciting for us? You know, last week we spoke about The Bachelor coming to South Africa.
Yes, yes.
Guess what's also coming to South Africa? Cheaters SA!
Woo! Oh, wow. That is going to be so violent.
Wow, your mind went there first as well.
I feel for that host is going to have to be a bulletproof vest-wearing host with, like, proper bodyguards.
Yeah, it's madness. So apparently it's coming to South Africa. They're looking for a host. Someone suggested Deborah Pater.
Wow.
I think Deborah's got better things to do than figure out who's cheating on who. But the show is coming to South Africa and there's a call to entry. Are you being cheated on? It reads as such. Do you want to test your relationship? You want to know the whole truth once and for all? Email us info@weajola.co.za or call SMS the number and tell us your story in order for us to assist you. Be a guest on our new TV show as we fight the habit of dishonesty.
Well, there was a show, I don't know where it is in the process of production, but it was about guys who weren't paying maintenance for their kids.
I think it's the same production company.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, because we played a clip. This dude was getting chased through Sandton.
Do you remember that guy? And he's a broadcaster.
Yeah. He's a bit of an athlete as well. You need to run after these guys.
That's my favorite episode from that show because the guy honestly did not know what was coming. And the poor presenter was like, dude, don't run into traffic. You're going to die. He did not give rocks. He was weaving, bobbing in and out of Sandton traffic.
It was running uphill in traffic. It was going so badly that day for him.
So yeah, Cheetah South Africa, something for, I don't know if we're going to look forward to this, but it might make for excellent TV. And like you're saying, we might need a bulletproof vest for the presenter.
Cheapest, yeah, that's going to, but look, these kind of shows, as crass and as basic that are, they do shine a light onto society. And I think there's some place that don't need a light shined upon them. I mean, like for entertainment purpose, of course, do it. But Jesus, there's going to be some awkward stuff.
Also, you have to catch people cheating. It's not like you can just go to someone and say, are you cheating? You have to catch them in the act.
Yeah, but you know what these guys are like. They're dreadful and they're sloppy. They believe they'll never get found out. Gareth alludes to this quite a lot, but guys think they're so smart when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, you know, I've got the side chick and I've got this and I've got that. No, you don't. Like, everyone knows what you're doing because guys have to. This is most of the allure about doing anything that's kind of illegal or cheating or frowned upon is that you need to share it for someone because you need the recognition. It's like with drugs. If drugs were legal, it'd be less of an appeal to do it because it's not seen as like dangerous.
Sure.
It's the same with cheating. You've got to be able to brag to someone. Otherwise, it's, you know.
What's the point?
Yeah.
Okay. And then last but not least, I feel like this is my duty now, is to give you an update on the Thai soccer boys,
yes.
The 12 that are stuck in a cave in Thailand with their coach. There's a video up on CNN.com of the boys being given foil kind of blankets to sleep with and also introducing themselves. And what was I going to say? Oh, apparently they're not being taught how to dive, but they are being taught how to swim. Because I think the diving option is a bit more dangerous. But yeah, that's the update, is that some of these boys don't even know how to swim.
Straight, yeah. Interesting place to be taught that though, like now.
Right. It's late days. It really, really is.
Yeah, and where they are, unfortunately, this is kind of monsoon season.
Mm-hmm.
And when it does rain there, it rains a lot. You get these clouds that come in and you don't really see much just because of all the rain. So these water levels are always going to be quite dangerous.
But they do seem a lot happier just because obviously they've been found. Now that we just need to rescue them on out of there.
Yeah, and it's a global story. You know, these things, they can't go away now. Everybody wants to see this, like... Unfortunately, we've had some illegal miners that haven't had as much support here in this country. And, you know, people go there, they go have a look, and it's like, well, we can't really do much about it. That's another murky story for another time.
That is it.
All right, we need to get into some sports. Of course, the World Cup. There was no World Cup yesterday. There is no World Cup today. But what I put together is basically how it's going to play out from here. Now, you can watch this full video on my YouTube channel as Follow the Bounce. It's just like a... kind of look-see from where the quarterfinals are going to go. Why is that person still shouting at me? Always knows how to win back an audience. Oh, man, I hate it when this happens. You know, you open up tabs and you don't know what's going on. That guy there. So in the sport, if we're in the quarterfinals of the World Cup, so to see how it's going to go, I put together a little video about just the kind of way I see it going. Maybe in a creative sense, maybe it could actually play out.
World Cup quarterfinals are here, and this is how they're going to play out. Putin tells Croatia that they have a lovely country and it would be a pity if anything were to happen to it. Croatia have a strange bad game. Russia go through on penalties. Confident after the Colombia game, Harry Kane actually scores a real goal from open play. Sweden go home to make more cars and music. Putin tells England that they have an okay country and it would be a shame if something were to happen to it. Theresa May says, piss off, it's coming home. Kane scores again and the Russians' dream is over. On the other side of the draw, Suarez and his girlfriend think they can beat France, but France is so tired of hearing English fans saying it's coming home that they power into the semis. Neymar hits the ground early against Belgium. The Belgians spend all game telling the ref to do something about it. Distracted, their defence opens up, Neymar gets back to his feet and scores the winner. France then struggle to unlock the solid Brazilian defence in the semis, so they just concede that Brazil will obviously beat England in the final and prevent it from coming home, so they let them through. It's a Brazil vs England final. Neymar hits the ground early, but the ref asks the VAR guys if he can send them off for being a rolling knobhead. The VAR guys say yes, and Neymar gets a red. Kane scores again, and England rejoice as World Cup champions. It does indeed go home, and the world as we know it ends.
So that's how it could play out from the quarterfinals on now. Now, Friday will be the big game, big day. We've got Brazil, Belgium, we've got France, Uruguay. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be like the real fun quarterfinal day. Make your plans for it right now. Games are at 4 and 8. And then we've got Sweden versus England, and we've got Russia versus Croatia. That's how your other quarterfinals are going to go. So those are your two halves. So all being well, and when you think about it, now, I would say England are a better team than Sweden. I reckon they've got the firepower, they've got the team, they can do it. Russia, if they go any further, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be that person, but this has got match fixing written all over it.
Of course.
Going into this World Cup, no one gave them a chance. Their own people didn't give them a chance. Nothing stacked up. And this Croatian team is pretty good. So that's that side. And then, the left side. And you think England kind of lost to Belgium on purpose in that final game because they wanted to be on the other side of the draw. Belgium won that game, unfortunately for them. So now they get Brazil in the quarters. So that is a much, much tougher draw on that side. Plus,
England get Brazil.
Sorry, did I say England? Belgium.
Oh.
So Belgium will now have Brazil on that side of the draw. The winner of that takes on Uruguay or France. Both of those teams are looking pretty solid. I know Uruguay have been sort of under the radar, but that's mostly because you just don't know too many people in this team. Whereas France, they're so star-studded. They've got the most expensive squad in the whole competition. But Uruguay are a solid team. They do have some injury concerns, however. So I'm guessing it's going to be France, Brazil, and England, Croatia, unless the match fixing comes into it.
Russia's going to the final. Vlad won't have it any other way.
Yeah, maybe Vlad's already planned this whole thing out.
Yeah.
It's like a dodgy golf day scorecard. It's already been filled out.
Most people will just drop on the field and we'll know why.
Yeah, suddenly how Croatia was invaded today after winning a semi... Sorry, not because they won the game, just because there was always tension between the two countries. Yeah. Big story from this week was LeBron James becoming the highest paid NBA player. Well, that's exactly what he's going to become. He signed a deal with the LA Lakers. Now, the LA Lakers are dreadful. Like their form, their results, everything about they've just been pretty crap. They had Kobe Bryant. That was their last big superstar. Kobe did whatever he could, but that team was just bottom of the log, just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So LeBron is going. He's going to the LA Lakers, and he's making so much money. So he's going to make his career earnings are going to go to $387.2 million. Which breaks down per season to be, I'll tell you right now, per season he's going to make about 41, around 40 million.
Jeez.
So he's got this big four-year deal, and he's basically, they're trying to resurrect the team around him. But he'll make about $470,000 a game. That's what his contract really, really breaks down to, all things considered. He's almost making $500,000 every time he plays one game of basketball.
Whether they win or lose.
That's part of his contract. Obviously, when you win, you go and you play in the playoffs, and there's obviously a lot more player incentives and all that kind of stuff. But still, his basic contract breaks down $470,000 per game. Mm. Of course, they'll want to play every single game. And look, no one works harder than LeBron. This is what I love about sporting superstars. They're not superstars by accident. You look at LeBron James, you look at Steph Curry, you look at Cristiano Ronaldo, all these guys, they put in the most work. And everyone thinks, oh, but they're just glory boys. No, no, no. They're the hard workers. The fact is that LeBron James has been like this since the age of probably like 12, 13, 14, because he had to support his entire family. Mm-hmm. This guy has never had it easy in a day of his life, and he deserves everything that he's got. And he has. Like, he's the biggest name in basketball. He deserves all this kind of money. And he'll now, you know, people are calling him the new king of LA. So, I mean, it all adds up, really. In other World Cup news, yeah, so Maradona's not having a good time of things at all. Now, while he's been at the World Cup making an absolute ass of himself, he's also been appearing on like a South American sort of football roundup sort of channel. Okay. So basically, the matches will be played, and the Venezuelan broadcaster Telesur had been having Maradona on as a big guest. And he went off about the whole refereeing situation, how it was robbery. This American ref who couldn't even speak Spanish was just being so horrible to the Colombians. And Harry Kane should never have got a penalty, despite the guy that guy actually rugby tackled him, which interesting. Maybe he was having a line at the time. So he is making an absolute fool of himself, and FIFA are basically saying that they're going to distance themselves from him. He is part of it. He was an ambassador and figurehead of the Legends program. But I don't think this could be his last World Cup unless he's paying for his own tickets after this, which is a shame. You don't want to see that. But yes, as Poppy said, he is looking for any kind of coaching job from here. He'll coach Argentina for free.
Can he come coach Bafana Bafana? Why hasn't anyone roped him in here?
Probably can't afford him.
Yeah.
Free. Okay. Free's too much.
Even for Bafana Bafana.
In Wimbledon, Caroline Wozniacki's out. Yep, she's out. She's in good form. Like, she won the sort of tournament preceding this, and like, this is the one tournament where she kind of does struggle, the one major she won really struggles at. But yeah, she's gone. She got beaten yesterday, and she kind of had some shitty words for her opponent, saying like, well, you were lucky today and you played probably better than you ever can, and I don't think you're going to go much further in the tournament. That's a bit dick to say. You just say, well done, and move on with your life. Otherwise, all the other seeds are through from both the men's and women's draws. So not a whole bunch to talk about right now. Roger Federer, I think, has won 35 straight points on service. And that just shows the guy is, he knows where he's going. Like, he's primed himself again for Wimbledon, looking really, really strong. So this whole Ronaldo move to Juventus, it maybe isn't such a pipe dream after all. Now, if you look at a couple of things around this, Real Madrid and Ronaldo have fallen out of love for each other, and that is from both sides. Now, it always happens that when you have big players, you have big egos. And big egos are, well, they're good things and bad things, because when it comes to BMT, having to perform in the night, Ronaldo generally delivers the goods, because that's what he is. He's a big-time superstar. But if there's someone else that can make more money than him, no, screw that. Like, he'll throw his toys. He has to be the highest paid. He has to be the big kahuna. I mean, Gareth Bale was given a huge deal to get to Real Madrid. And with that, obviously, Ronaldo's pay packet had to be kind of adjusted. You know, it's a bit like managing children in many respects. So Ronaldo kind of wants to go. He's now 34 at the end of next season. He's achieved everything he possibly could with Real Madrid. He's the top goal scorer of all time. He's won 5 Champions League titles in his career now. And Real Madrid always have to have the biggest and best and the newest thing, because that is just their brand. Whether their team needs it or not, they'll have to go and fork out huge amounts of money for the next big striker. Now, PSG, they've lost their coach. He's gone to Arsenal. They didn't do so well in the Champions League last year, so all the money that they injected into that team, and they still didn't get past the quarters. They lost to Real Madrid. Now, there's big talk that Neymar might go to Real Madrid. That'll be their big signing for the summer. If that happens, you definitely can't see Neymar and Ronaldo in the same team. It wouldn't happen. There'd be too much of a clash of egos, and whatever the pay is, Ronaldo would want more than Neymar. So it just can't work. So Juventus have put a sneaky bid together, by the looks of things, of 100 million euros, which is...
That's a lot.
Well, again, like I was saying yesterday, it's actually... That's not really the big problem. 100 million euros they can source up, they can get a return on investment there quite simply. Ticket sales, image rights, broadcast deals, all that kind of stuff. But it is only 10 million more than Gonzalo Higuain, the Argentinian striker who came from Roma. So he went to Juventus, 90 million euros. Now, that's all good and well, but you think, like, well, Ronaldo's 3 times the player that Higuain is. So, I mean, it shouldn't be that. There should be a bigger pay gap. But this is where it gets interesting. You can get Ronaldo, good and well. You can drum up your 100 million euros. Everything's going to be okay. You can throw him a nice party or whatever. problem is that Higuain, who is Juventus's top earner, essentially, wage-wise, Ronaldo's wages are four times that. So they have to pay four times what they pay Higuain. So basically, there's like half the team's salaries all there just to have Ronaldo.
I'm sorry, I'm not passing the ball to you if that's the case.
Yeah, so again, and these kind of things mess up the frame and the kind of chemistry of a team when you get someone who is earning that much money. And I know like it's all about making the team win and all that kind of stuff, but there's more to it than that. These dynamics are difficult. Ronaldo could be a curse or a blessing to any team going forward. Where he is in his career, who knows what's going to happen. We know he's good for another few seasons because of his work ethic, but the money changes everything. It always changes everything. But Real Madrid, it'd be interesting to see if they can get Neymar or Kylian Mbappe. That'll be fascinating to see how much money they're going to throw to get those guys together. It's possible, and it may just happen. In Test Match Cricket, Bangladesh grow the game all out for 43. These guys are the biggest disappointment in world cricket.
All out for how much?
43. Against the West Indies. These guys have been given so many opportunities and they're just shite. They might get a scratchy draw or a win at home on a turning pitch. Otherwise, they're terrible. All out for 43. That's embarrassing. Close of play on day one. West Indies 201 for two. They bowled first and they lead by 158 runs with 8 wickets in the first day. Really, really depressing. Tomorrow is Friday, so we'll get into the weekend's football and the weekend's rugby. What else is happening in the cricket? And, of course, the tennis will get more interesting as we progress up the ranks. I'm going to try to get the guys on the line from London. So if you just give me a second, I'm going to just pass you over to John Legend because he's quite good at this. And then hopefully I have Sia and Gareth on the other side of this. All right, that's enough from you, John Legend. Very off pitch this morning. Clearly, we got him out of bed way too early. Gareth, are you there with us?
Yo, Ben, what's up?
Yeah, sorry about the delay there. We were doing sports and news, and Sibs hasn't got into it yet. Yeah. How are things going on your side?
Excellent. We haven't stopped. In fact, I think both Sia and I are going to collapse by like Sunday evening. We're going to sleep on that whole flight back, which usually doesn't happen on a plane, but we haven't had more than a minute to just kind of collect our thoughts. And there's so much going on. There's so many people being, you know, met and interviewed and spoken to and connected with. I mean, it's just crazy. But I that's exactly how I'd like it. There's nothing worse than a trip where you go somewhere interesting like London, and I don't know how some people do this and end up spending time sitting in the hotel.
Oh, no. You just got to walk. I mean, all European cities, you go there and you could easily walk 10Ks a day. Like, it happens.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I think first 2 days, according to the step counter that we worked out somewhere between Sia's and Elena's, that we've done somewhere in the region of 10,000 to 15,000 steps a day. Sorry, 20,000 steps a day. So, I mean, it doesn't sound like a lot, but yesterday I walked the entire distance from the Strand to Blackfriars Station, which is, I mean, it's a good 25-minute walk at pace, you know?
Nice.
It's good. It's great.
Very nice. Yeah. And
what's happening?
Well, we've got Justice coming in a bit, and I'm going through the notes, and it is going to be a hot burning platform today. There is, wow. It's going to be hot.
You have to ask him about what my advocate Dalim Pofu is up to with this Tom Moyane thing. My God, what
yes,
a mess.
Thank you for reminding us. I have a couple of questions on that front.
It's also Poppy's.
Hey, Pops.
Morning, G. How are you?
It's also Poppy's first burning platform, Gareth.
Yes, you're going to love it. This is, you know, it's one of the most the privileged parts of my job and everybody else at Cliff Central. You know, our kind of experience. And then also, one of the reasons I think people listen is that you get to have an audience with Justice once a week.
That's
and
awesome.
he really is, he's, you know, by far and away South Africa's best political analyst.
Okay.
He's got a great sense of humor, so he's better than anyone else on that front too. And besides Tom Moyane, the other thing you need to ask him about is the Zulu King's comments about land.
Yeah. Poppy brought that up just now in the news, actually.
Mm.
It's fascinating.
Very
times.
Interesting when the shoe's on the other foot. Huh? But this is always going to be so subjective with these kind of things. And they haven't thought this through, as Poppy said earlier. So we're going to have issues like this all the time.
Well, you know, what I thought was an interesting comment, and I saw this from a number of people, Zulus, Afrikaners. South Africa is a made-up thing. You know, our borders were drawn by the colonial empires.
Mm-hmm.
Our border was, let's make it the Limpopo. Because Zimbabwe belonged to the British Empire, and so did we. So they said, well, let's divide. Zambia and Zimbabwe really might not even need to be separate countries if you consider what's going on. There are different ways that you could have divided things, you know, ethnically or in terms of language. And South Africa is a made-up country. By self-determination standards, the Zulus should have had their own country.
Mm.
Oh, that's probably why he's threatening to take the Zulu nation with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and for the government must be very careful here, because if they give him the excuse, he has very good grounds to separate out from the rest of South Africa.
Jeez.
And I think, wouldn't it be interesting if something happened and you know, KwaZulu-Natal became a separate country, Durban became a city like Singapore, which is run as an independent city that has its own government, Cape Town seceded from South Africa, or the Western Cape as a whole, and Durban and Gauteng, in fact, became a separate entity to the rest of South Africa. I mean, you know, that would be absolutely fascinating.
Well, it would ruin sport, but otherwise, yeah, it'd be fascinating.
Yeah. And it would ruin sport. Sorry, Ben. But you know what? There are little countries like Iceland in the Soccer World Cup who managed to pull rabbits out of the hat and, you know, qualify for that. And they've got a population of Gauteng. A couple of 100,000.
Well, yeah, it's about 320,000 people.
Yeah.
Of which, I think, So,
I mean, I'm still keeping up with the news in between whenever we, you know, got Wi-Fi and we can connect to the internet. It's good to see what's going on.
Very nice. And it's still obviously stiflingly hot there as well.
Gee, yesterday was, there was a little bit of rain in the late afternoon, but I mean, you know, you got hit by about 10 drops crossing the Westminster Bridge. Nothing to write home about, but it was very hot yesterday afternoon.
The reason I ask is, in weather like this, do the Londoners just all go to the park and just show off their pale skin?
I should see her. When we were walking through Green Park, I said, do you see all those chairs? And there are a whole lot of those sort of, you know, those chairs that are made of fabric and wood.
Yeah.
And people sitting with their shirts off, pasty English people trying to get some sun. They really do love the sun when they get it. And of course, the people who are working, because it's, you know, it's a working week, are dressed in their two or three piece suits, the men anyway, walking around in this heat. Must be quite uncomfortable. I was walking around in a jacket for most of yesterday, and it was bloody hot. And, you know, the women are wearing beautiful dresses, and I mean, summer dresses, but it's still, you know, you're going to the trouble of dressing up, despite the fact that it's so hot.
Very nice. And what does the rest of the day hold for you today?
Wow. You know, every day seems to be piling up with more and more stuff, because where there were gaps before, they're now being filled. So today we've got breakfast with Pumela Salela, who is the who's at Trafalgar Square at South Africa House. So that's our embassy. A beautiful old building, which is right in the middle of London. And that's where our ambassador for the UK lives and sits. And that's also where all the South African consular services take place. So it'll be interesting to see our bit of South Africa in London. We're going to the Churchill War Rooms, which is...
Oh, nice.
I don't know if anybody watched the Churchill movies, Finest Hour and the one about Dunkirk. And any of the others that have become quite interesting, what is it now, close to 70 years after the end of World War II?
Mm-hmm.
Those movies, a lot of the movie that Gary Oldman won an Oscar for, Finest Hour, was filmed in what was a reconstructed set of those Churchill War Rooms, which are under Whitehall, and were built there because the Germans didn't know where Churchill's headquarters was. They couldn't bomb it. Because if he used his offices, they would have bombed them.
Sure.
So they built these rooms especially for Churchill to run and for his administration to run the war. So I'm really looking forward to that. Then we've got an interview with a guy called Greg Hands, who's a member of parliament. He's actually a minister. And here's something interesting. This is something you never hear about. Greg Hands resigned because his constituency is where Heathrow airport is. Mm-hmm. And they've been threatening to build a third runway. And he always said to his constituents, they're going to have to wipe out a whole couple of villages to build this new third runway because you need so much space for an airport.
Sure.
And he said to his constituents, look, if they go ahead with making this airport, I will resign. And he was actually a minister in cabinet. And the vote was held, and he had to vote against the runway. And as soon as the vote went through and he lost, he resigned. Now, how many politicians do you know who have that kind of principle?
Wow, that's just like Fikile Mbalula, who said that he would not. Oh, wait, no, he did actually change his mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Don't be silly. We're going to an English tailor called Huntsman to go and see how that English, tailor environment works, because Savile Row is the world's number one street for men's outfitting, for beautiful, handmade, individually, appropriately fitted suits. It's the best place to buy shirts, suits, shoes, everything. So, I mean, that's going to be a tremendously interesting experience. I think for any guy in the world to go to London to buy your own Savile Row suit is just, the pinnacle of kind of rewarding yourself for a job of work well done.
So it's like the Kingsman movie all over again.
Correct.
Nice.
Correct.
Very good.
And this evening we've got an event with Mandela and me. The British Council are kind of doing their own Nelson Mandela celebration ahead of his birthday and the centenary this year. There are a number of eminent Londoners who will be joining us. And by the way, we saw Minister of Transport, Blaise Nzimande, yesterday. We were sitting down at breakfast with a Paul van Sail, who I told you about. And while I was interviewing Paul van Sail, Blaise Nzimande and his small delegation, three people, came and sat at the table right next door. How's that?
That's cool. Yeah. What's he doing there?
Yeah. Minister of Transport. He's here for some maritime convention, but people back home are complaining about the petrol price increase and the tariffs.
Yeah.
How much of that petrol price money, and I know you guys broke this down, goes to government. So Blaise Nzimande better hurry up and get home to sort that out, because people aren't just going to keep paying.
Yeah, Gareth, I'd like to say that too, but I think we just do keep paying. Like, what do we do? You're not going to set fire to a petrol station. Blaise will go and live it up in London. He doesn't give a toss about this.
Maybe you're right. God, I mean, it's, yeah. You know what? You are right. But he's over here and trying to, I suppose, connect up maritime opportunities for South Africa. All I can vouch for is that he was having breakfast at the Carinthia.
At a rather fancy place. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Spending your money, everybody. Yeah, and then tomorrow night I'm also going to meet some family and friends who live in London, get to see them after the Mandela event, and then hopefully squeeze in 4 or 5 hours of sleep, and then back to all kinds of exciting stuff on Friday.
Oh, very good, Gareth. Wow. It is quite something. And Sia's still handling? He hasn't sort of flaked away?
No, Sia's doing really well. He's making friends everywhere, networking up a storm. We're still trying to teach him the right accents, and he's making progress in that respect. And he's found things to eat. This is the most amazing thing of all. We went out for dinner last night, and Sia picked something off the menu.
And what was it?
I can't describe it, but he seemed to enjoy it.
It didn't look palatable, but he had it.
No, he loved it, and it looked great. There are a lot of vegan options and vegetarian options here, and there's pretty much a restaurant and they're all full, hey? There's a restaurant for everything.
And just full of people with being such an incredible time of summer.
Oh, yeah. And because the London is so busy and there's such multiculturalism and diversity, and there really is a world of, if you're a foodie, this is heaven, because you can go to fine dining, you know, Michelin star restaurants, you can go to shitty takeaways, and you can go to everything in between that's lovely. And they have every kind of fusion. I mean, we went out for dinner with Casper Lee the other night. We went to this place which is like a fusion Japanese restaurant, and it was great. It's like, I'm not even a foodie and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, like, I think everyone's a foodie. I think it's one of the most made-up bullshit terms in the world. Oh, you like to eat. You like to not taste like shit. Wow, you're a foodie.
Well, look, I suppose there are also those people who it's how they plan their day. You know, yeah. I'll have breakfast here, I'll have lunch there, I'll have dinner here. And in London, I mean, where we had lunch with Alistair Lukies yesterday, we ate at the Shard, which is the tallest building in London. And it's a restaurant right at the top. The views are mesmerizing. Mm. And the food was first class. Really one of the, probably the best restaurants in, it's called Aquashard. Nice. And Jesus, the view, wow. And listen, the company was amazing as well, because the conversations that we're having here are the, you know, that with people who are talking about stuff that affects all of us, the whole planet, not just their own little interest on their corner. They're thinking big. I suppose that's why London is still a world city. And people here are very connected to things that are happening in all four corners of the globe.
Yeah, of course. It is that quintessential international city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not caught up in little local fights about, you know, expropriation without compensation.
Yeah.
And they every single person I have met without exception thinks it's the dumbest thing in the world that we're even talking about that stuff in 2018.
Well, this is what I fear, Gareth, and we'll get into it now on the Burning Platform, but I just feel like the world is leaving this country behind. Like, there are people doing incredible things that are uplifting everybody. So I'm not saying we're being left behind or we mustn't tend to our issues, but all the big problems of unemployment, crime, poverty, you know, people sitting around wanting these social grants. They're literally standing around for days, these people, with no purpose in life. Yet you get countries that are, you know, using the tech age to really open things up. You've got countries like Rwanda who are now having VW opening up production plants there because they see the future and they work and they're moving towards it rather than just sitting on their hands and bitching about shit.
Well, they are bitching about Brexit. Just about, with the exception of maybe four of the very prominent people that I've spoken to, the rest are all kind of Remain people, not Brexit people. But the four that I've met that are pro Brexit just see it as an opportunity for, you know, them to make their own new arrangements with countries individually and not as part of the EU. Look, I mean, every country has its challenges, and in Britain, I think people are. They're very interested in the world, but they've also got local and pressing local matters that they're dealing with daily. So it's also interesting to immerse yourself in that. And then the most fascinating thing I've heard in a long time is that everybody in this country, well, maybe 80% of the people in this country are watching Love Island.
I know. I see it all over the place. We're actually going to talk about it tomorrow. Because, you know, there's also Love Island Australia. It is like the biggest thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Because everybody's talking about it here, and I feel very left out that I haven't watched an episode yet.
Gareth, people are going to pubs to watch football and Love Island's on the TVs in some cases.
Wow.
Yeah. That tells you everything you need to know.
Shit. All right. Well, that's a wrap on my update for today. We've got to go and get ready to head off to the South African Embassy, to South Africa House on Trafalgar Square.
Very good.
And I'll let you know how that goes.
Enjoy
justice.
Yeah, we're going to find him. He's here somewhere. Cool. We'll find him. Cool, Gareth. Have a great day. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Cheers, Poppy. Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, G.
Cheers, everybody.
Alrighty. Okay, we're going to find justice. I need a cup of coffee. Do you want anything, Poppy?
I also need my fix.
Okay. Yeah, very good. And then there's no Gord today. He'll hopefully be back in a full bill of health tomorrow.
For the... I'm not laughing at this. Gord sounds to me like he was like my little brother growing up.
What, ill?
Which means that he just would preempt certain things. So like if my brother didn't want to go to school, he would figure out just how to catch my parents off guard, like on the day that he was supposed to go back to school, find some kind of excuse. So I just find it really weird that Gord's going to come to work on a Friday. That's all I'm saying.
Gord wants to be here. That's the whole thing.
Does he?
Of course he does.
Where have you seen him express that?
Every single time he's here.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, more from the Custy Top. They're back in the mix as well. And the Burning Platform with Justice Millard coming up.
This is CliffCentral.com.